Welcome to Inside Track. Santa Aurelia LLC is solely responsible for its content and pays for it. The views and opinions expressed on Inside Track are those of the host and guests and not necessarily endorsed by KVOI or its advertisers, but they should be. And now here's Bruce Ash.
Hello, Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, and
Eb Wilkinson,
welcoming you to a special live belated second year anniversary Supreme Court edition of Inside Track. Yep, we're back once again until next summer, and we are better than ever.
With clean hands.
Yeah. Eb, welcome back. Seems like you've been on assignment forever. That's just, boy, I just throw that out every time. If Franzi had walked out of the recording studio to go to the bathroom,
he'd be on assignment,
right?
Exactly.
So maybe you've been taking a whiz for 3.5 months.
Long time.
Sure. So it's great to be back here.
It's good to see you.
In the studio. How is,
even if it's through plexiglass.
That, yeah, I know. That is kind of lame. What's the progress on your home remodel coming?
Coming along. It's slow but steady. I was painting one of the bathrooms this morning before the show.
You know, they do have people who do that. I know you have to write them a check, but
I enjoy doing that. It allows me just to relax. It's a way to reduce stress.
Why don't you go to the range?
Well, I do that too.
Well, but you know, painting takes away from range time.
Well, not when you're doing it at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Aye. How much stuff made it onto the wall and not on the floor?
I do a really great job, Bruce.
Okay.
You would hire me.
No, I got guys I hire. There are plenty of things I have hired you to do, and you do a very good job with my family's investments. But painting and woodworking,
you'll get somebody else.
Wouldn't be what I'd suggest. Okay, when we close the show today at 2 p.m., the President of the United States will fulfill his constitutional duties and officially name his nominee to fill the vacancy created from Justice Ginsburg's death a week ago Friday. I'm not a betting man, but the name leaking out of the White House is that Judge Amy Coney Barrett will be the nominee, and we'll find out in just a few minutes if she is, in fact, the person.
How much of the leaks are planned leaks?
That's a good question. I think maybe in this case and others, there are planned leaks and there are unplanned leaks. I think these are planned.
So she was on the list with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, she was on the early, you know, the 2016 list.
Right.
And a number of the other potential selectees were actually from the new list.
Okay.
And some better than others. You know, for example, the White House counsel person, you know, really had no judicial experience. You know, very good lawyer. You know, Paul Clement, for example, on the new list was a solicitor general before. I don't know if he had served in the judiciary on a federal level either. But, you know, and none of them are mentally deficient. These are very, very bright people and know the law. And Amy Coney Barrett certainly, I think at this time, would, with her age and with her background experience, she's going to be there for probably the next 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, similar to Justice Thomas. I think they were about the same age if she is, in fact, selected today. So we have a jam-packed show today, packing 12 pounds of fertilizer into an 8-pound bag. Pima Republican nominee for supervisor Fernando Gonzalez, with an S, will join us, and he'll talk about his campaign to replace the Grijalva gang at the Pima Soups in District 5. Friend of the show Mike Gonzalez, with a Z, from Heritage, will check in with us, and we'll talk about his newest opinion pieces for Heritage via the Daily Signal on the impact of civil unrest in America. Emil Franzi, alumni, or alumna, is it alumni or alumnus?
It's alumnus if it's single, alumni, plural, or is it the other way around?
Well, that's why I'm asking you. You're smarter than me. You went to Purdue. That's a real university. Anyway, Voices of the West host Harry Alexander will share his ideas on old Tucson and the next phase of that place. That's the iconic movie studio and Western Amusement Park. GOP nominee for LD2 House, Deb McEwen, will finish up the show. You never know what else we might cover. So listen up. We'll have a great live show for you today. A live show today on Inside Track.
Finally.
Did I see Charles Heller on the line? Let's put that
It looks like he's on the line now.
Mr. Heller?
Yes, sir. Can I engage in a brief judicial fantasy for a moment?
Why not?
Wouldn't it be cool if President Trump said to the older conservative justices, I think it's time for, wouldn't it be nice if you retired? And for President Trump to nominate Justice Sam Colt, Justice Bill Ruger, because he's got Barrett, and Justice Dan Wesson and Justice Horace Smith.
And I like all those guys.
And then the majority decision would be Ruger, Colt, Barrett, Smith, and Wesson for the majority. For the minority in dissent, Kagan and Crickets.
Oh, gosh.
you're sick.
Would that not be just, I know I'm just fantasizing, but it's a nice fantasy to have, isn't it?
Hey, I want to thank you, Charles, for putting up with me over the summer. Charles has been really my editor and producer. I would do these shows, pre-record interviews, and Charles would spend hours upon hours on end every week putting them together. He is a very patient man, and Charles, I'm making a pledge here on the air that next year I hope to have my technology jitters worked out and be able to do this the normal way.
It would be a beautiful first step to get you a VU meter.
I don't even know what that is, but
it's a gauge that tells you how loud things are.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe so. But
you owe me dinner.
I owe you big time, and I'd be happy to take you out to dinner anytime. All right, Charles.
Have a great day.
Thanks
guys.
Very much.
Bye.
Hey, do you have a home improvement project you want to start this summer, but you're worried if you can afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinets sells J&K, Conestoga, Yorktown, and Waypoint cabinets. Plus, Corazon offers professional design services for your home. Call Corazon Cabinets at 488-2266 and schedule a visit to the showroom. It's an easy number, 488-2266. Big doings. Corazon is moving their showroom in October to a location on South Park in Irvington. So watch for some even greater specials over the next month on their quality products for your home. When you call, tell Joy, Allie, or David you heard this ad with Bruce and Ebb on Inside Track and get an additional 5% discount on their already low wholesale prices. All right, Tom, let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, I hope we're going to have Mike Gonzalez from the Heritage Institute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Bruce and Ebb here live. We may be having a little bit of a guest malfunction. Mike Gonzalez from Heritage is due to join us. And heck, you know, in the meantime, you know, as we're waiting for Mike, and hopefully he will get here, Mike has written several publications and worked during the George Bush administration. He's a speechwriter, formerly for SEC Commissioner Chris Cox. He wrote a book earlier this summer, just released at the end of July, called The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. And that book is doing very well on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so on. Eb, you know, the thing that Mike has talked about is that identity politics, you know, really is sort of related indirectly, maybe, to the civil unrest that we've seen. You know, what's going on with Black Lives Matter and with Antifa, this isn't about helping African Americans or any minority who has been inflicted with violence or you know, death through a police encounter. It really is to drive an entirely different kind of a political outcome, don't you think?
Absolutely. You look at the Black Lives Matter website, they all but say that they're Marxist.
Colors is. No question about that.
Exactly. And I've got to tell you, my belief, they are not self-funded. They're getting funding from other places like George Soros. Of course, if I said that on Fox News, they'd shut me down.
Well, but there's also plenty of evidence, when you just look at their 1099s, that they are getting money from American businesses, from large corporations. And really what it amounts to, I think, is it's protection money to make sure that they never come to their stores or to their product and boycott them and so on.
That's no different than the Rainbow Coalition early on.
Right, exactly. So Mike writes, he says, with little fanfare, Black Lives Matter removed a section of text that had been under a section called What We Believe that sought to engender the destruction of the nuclear family structure. And this was reported by the Post-Millennial, a Canadian news organization. As Matt Walsh writes, Mike says, with its direct opposition to the nuclear family, Black Lives Matter had positioned itself on the fringes of the fringe. Also removed was the communist word comrade, put there on purpose as a wink to fellow Marxists, and now removed so the rest of the country won't catch on. Rather than clear the air, page not found sounds like a head fake that really isn't worthy of the moment. You know, it is really astounding that CEOs that we always sort of felt successful ones that we looked up to,
sure,
would you know, allow themselves to be brought down by a bunch of punks and thugs and terrorists. But that's exactly what's going on.
And the same with mayors.
Oh, there's no question. You know, we had a fundraiser the other night for Sheriff Napier. And at the very, very end, we talked about what it takes for law enforcement to prevent these kinds of violent outbreaks. You know, and we see them now even in otherwise peaceful cities like Lexington, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, Rochester, and of course the big ones,
sure,
you know, earlier this summer in Minneapolis. Heather McDonald from the Manhattan Institute said it very, very clearly. How you avoid these types of events from happening is leadership. And whether it is in law enforcement or whether it's on the corporate side, not being held hostage and not being pushed down by these thugs. You know, my dad always said, you know, the way that you get rid of a bully is you stand up to them.
Right.
You don't run away and you don't make excuses. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, this is part of a political campaign. This is part of the election that we're going through.
And you take a look at cities like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Right.
So I have some business up there. I know a lot of the people up there. I talk to them. As soon as Black Lives Matter, the Antifa guys started coming into Coeur d'Alene, word got out. The citizens basically all got together. strapped on their AR-15s, went downtown. There were 100 people downtown with long rifles.
It's Coeur d'Alene.
I know. But out on the streets in front of businesses, and basically nothing happened. All the bad guys said, yeah, this isn't going to work. We're going to go somewhere else where we can do the threatening, not being threatened ourselves.
So instead, what's happened is, as Mike Gonzalez writes, the CEOs of America's largest companies, through their membership in the Business Roundtable, have an entire site dedicated to the more than $6 billion that so far has been dedicated to public, quote-unquote, public policy solutions and corporate initiatives to advance racial equity and justice. And when you travel across the more than 80 links on that page, you see that the major employers are spreading their shareholders' wealth. You know, this isn't coming out of their pocket. It's coming out of the shareholders' pocket and purposely funneling it far away from Black Lives Matter organizations.
You said $6 billion.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
The list of programs include Apple and PepsiCo's hiring efforts, AT&T's direct spending on U.S. black-owned suppliers and employers, Boeing's investment in long-held community partnerships. These are CEOs that are actually standing up and doing something positive and not buckling under to Black Lives Matter. You know, this woman, Patrice Cullors, in her September 11th announcement of being named Executive Director of Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, the umbrella organization for the BLM global movement. Oh, God, I'm sure they're going to be happy that in France, you know, with the yellow-shirted people who are going to show up now with these guys in black. Patrice Cullors said nothing about the economy, jobs, or opportunity. Instead, the reader was treated to language about cellular renewal, capacity building, and organizational transition.
What the heck is that?
It's all part of their deal to take care of themselves and to break down the country. Readers will remember the Cullors as one of the original founders of the BLM organization and a self-proclaimed Marxist. She and another co-founder, Opal Tometi, can be seen in this video praising Joanne Chesmard, also known as Assata Shakur, a communist convicted cop killer who is now a fugitive in Cuba, and chanting the communist slogan, "We have nothing to lose but our chains." Now, why am I making such a big deal about this? There was a time when the Democratic Party wouldn't have associated themselves with such a left-wing, far radical kind of an organization.
And not too long ago.
They're silent on this.
Right.
Okay? They have not criticized these people. They have embraced them. When you look at the DNC platform for this year, they use the same code words that these organizations are using. I don't know about you, but I don't think that in suburban America, you know, the pollsters and the pundits often talk about how in suburban areas, metropolitan areas, suburban women are not going to vote for the president. They're because they're annoyed with his demeanor and his tactics and so on. But are they really going to vote for a party for nominees who either actively or tacitly support these groups?
They're being misled. Number one. Number two, we're going by the polls that the suburban women say they're not going to vote for the president.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're not going to vote. That just means that's what they're saying. That's number one. Number two, take a look at the city where there's violence, and take a look at the city where the mayors are not standing up. Portland, Seattle, that town in Wisconsin, Louisville. Louisville's run by a Democrat mayor. These are people that are not standing up, that are buckling down because they don't want to lose their voting base.
But by doing this, don't you erode your voting base? You certainly avoid your tax base. In a place like Louisville, who is not, and you spend some time in Kentucky yourself,
yes,
you know those areas pretty well. Now, is your mom in the Lexington area or
right outside of Cincinnati, Florence?
So these areas don't have a great tax base to begin with.
Correct.
have these kinds of problems, and all of a sudden, bam, now the tax base, it completely dissipates.
Sure. And the same with New York City. New York City, a friend of mine's there, walking the streets, empty. All the restaurants are shut down. A lot of the stores are all boarded up. Nobody's there. You're going to see, because of the pandemic and because of the riots and because of the mayor saying, no, we will not have undercover cops out there at all, violence is increasing dramatically so. And people are saying, screw this. If I can work from home, I can work from home in Florida or North mm-hmm. Carolina or Texas or mm-hmm. Arizona or mm-hmm. anywhere but New York. And mm-hmm. they're losing huge amounts of revenue.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, look, this is maybe we'll be able to get Mike Gonzalez with a Z back with us another time. I think sometimes these Eastern guys they don't understand time zones and stuff. So we'll call. Mike's a great guy. He appeared on the show a couple months ago. He's brighter than most of these eggheads.
Perfect.
But for now, I think we'll go ahead and give him a pass. And hey, when we come back, we're gonna have a guy that we all know. A friend of the show, Harry Alexander, join us. He is going to talk with us about old Tucson and what's going on there and what he's going to do. So stay tuned. You're listening to Inside Track. We'll be right back. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's
777-1911. Welcome back to Inside Track. Eb and I are so pleased to welcome old friend, Inside Track alumnus, and show... and host of a truly great podcast that our show's founder, Emil Franzi, started so many years ago, Harry Alexander. Thanks for coming on. As Emil would say, how the hell are you, Harry?
I am doing well, Bruce. Thank you. And hey to Eb. Haven't talked with you in a long time.
It's been a long time, Harry. Good to see you. Good to hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I am just so glad that you, Bruce, and I were able to carry on Franzi's legacy here with his politics and his love of Western, the West. I think it takes two of us to do what one man
did. Yeah, it does. It really does.
Why it's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, as time went on, I think Emil really enjoyed the voice of the West even more than Inside Track. And
yes,
he said
yes.
that to me a number of times. And
yes.
thanks to you and Bunker for taking this on. And hey, before we talk about old Tucson, let's talk a little bit about Voices of the West, how to listen, and what you and old friend of ours, Bunker, are doing later today on the show.
Well, the show has evolved quite a bit. I mean, it's still an hour long. It is still on at 4 p.m., just like every Saturday, just like Emil had it, except we're on the Internet. And folks can listen to the show. They can live stream it by going to the website, voiceofthewest.net, and there's a player there, and it tells you when we're live, and you click on it, and you can listen to the show. and you can participate in the show as well. There's a chat box, and we can always do a phone call or an email or whatever. And so we have that. And then obviously the podcast is available on all of the normal podcasting platforms, one of them being Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher. I mean, we're all over the place. Yeah. I can't keep track of them.
So, you know, just some of the recent topics, cowboy artist Charlie Russell was discussed, the Corral shootout, Arizona Rangers. And then you have plenty of Western writers and storytellers that are on the show all the time. And and then when you're not actually doing the podcast, you do have a period of time during the day where you have music and old Western radio shows going on as well, don't you?
Well, we did have a radio channel at one point, and I've taken that down because of copyright issues, and I don't want to get caught, you know, with that. Most of what I had been programming was public domain music, but I know there's some Yahoo out there who's going to say, oh, somebody else did that, even though it's in the public domain, and I just don't want to get involved with it.
Understood.
All of, you know, all of the programming that we did was for public domain. We had public domain on our YouTube channel that has been banned. We had public domain movies up there, Old West movies, plus our show was up there for folks to watch. But YouTube decided they didn't like guns or something, and we got banned.
Well, let's talk about Old Tucson. It's folded.
Yeah.
What a shame. What are you thinking about to bring it back to life?
Well, the three of us involved with Voices of the West, that would be myself, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts, who is our co-host in Los Angeles. Todd's dad produced both Monty Walsh pictures, so that he's stuck with us through and through. Our plan is to we're in the process of forming a nonprofit corporation, and what we want to do is go to Pima County with an idea, with a plan, and say, here's what we want to do with Old Tucson. And we'd like to get a lease for as least expensive as possible, obviously, because we're nonprofit. And the idea is we want to turn Old Tucson into the National Museum of Western Film and Culture. And the reason we want to do that is, obviously, Old Tucson was built as a movie location for the, produced in 1939, but released in 1940, movie Arizona, Gene Arthur and William Holden. And from, I mean, Arizona has always been a great setting for Western movies. Some of the old silents were filmed out here. In fact, there was a Douglas Fairbanks Sr. movie that was filmed in Nogales, all the exteriors. And it's a, watching all this old stuff is such a hoot. I just love it, and I can understand why Franzi was so engrossed with it. But back to the idea, we want to turn this into a national center for Western film. We have the infrastructure there. We know that we can get exhibits from a variety of different places. We know of people who have things that they would love to exhibit. So, you know, we're also seeking the backing of the Western Writers of America group, and virtually anybody else that we can think of to do this. So that's the idea. We're going to form this foundation and make it work.
So Tom Fairbanks has an idea he wants to throw into this conversation. Tom, fire away.
Well, Harry, I wonder if you agree with me. The thing in my mind that would really bring Old Tucson back to what it used to be for Southern Arizona, not just Tucson, was when they had a Hollywood soundstage and they could really produce movies there in Tucson and not have to be going back and forth to Los Angeles. If we if we can't get another soundstage built out there, I don't think we'll ever get Old Tucson back to the way it used to be.
Having a soundstage is the least of the worries. The main issue is the tax credits that had been issued to Hollywood production companies back in the day.
Right.
And we're talking in the 1960s and 1970s. Those things dried up pretty much in the late 80s, I think, early maybe mid-90s. And you know, people are saying, oh, they're not making Westerns anymore. Well, yeah, they are. There's bunches of them being made.
Yeah, they're just not making them here.
Right. But they are making them in New Mexico, where there are film credits available, and they're making them in Vancouver, BC, where the Canadian government is offering film credits. I'm not saying this is, you know, the only reason, but it's certainly a great incentive. Hey, if you want to do business, you gotta look at the business side of it. And just say, oh, we don't want to subsidize those Hollywood companies. That's garbage, because those Hollywood companies put a buttload of money into our economy when they're here. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I know Christy Simone has some interest in this topic as well. Mm-hmm. That's probably another venue.
Yes.
And, you know, depending upon what happens in the elections coming up, you know, there may be some additional economic stimulus that perhaps comes as a result of this. So let's keep this conversation. This is an opening for what could be a really exciting next chapter for Old Tucson. And thanks very much for appearing on the show today, Harry.
My pleasure, Bruce. We know that Old Tucson had been approached by the Smithsonian sometime back to partner as a living history almost like a living history museum. And that would be the cat's pajamas to turn that into a living history place, and like a colonial Williamsburg. But, you know, baby steps first. It will do the film museum and culture museum first, and then work on the other.
All right. Well, Harry got a scoot. We got Fernando Gonzalez on the other line. So best of luck. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Bruce.
Voices of the West this afternoon at 4 p.m. All right.
Yep. See you, Harry.
Hey, Fernando Gonzalez is joining us now. That's Fernando from here in Tucson, not that Mike Gonzalez guy who didn't call in on time. And Fernando is running to replace Richard Elias, but he's really running to change a political ideology that's polluted and suffocated Tucson and Pima County for over 30 years, Grijalvaism. Fernando, you say it's time we take a different look at issues of poverty, decaying roads, and jobs. Welcome to the show. Thanks for running, Fernando. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Bruce. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show. I guess there was some confusion there. I was asked by a reporter, you know, what, because I ran 8 years ago,
right,
what was different or the same. I said it was a little bit of both. It's different because, you know, now I'm running against another piece of the Grijalva machine, which is Adelita Grijalva. But, you know, regardless of who the Democrats put up there, it's still an ideology that we're running against. All the Board of Supervisors candidates, that's what they're doing. They're running against an ideology that really, they call themselves progressives, but there's nothing progressive about their agenda. You know, it's a regressive agenda that has been permeated here in Pima County. And it's unfortunate because that has caused, you know, poverty in Tucson, you know, an attack on small businesses, higher property taxes in Arizona, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we're fighting against, Bruce, an ideology that no matter who they put, if he's a Democrat, they will continue to do that.
So, the Grijalvas and their gang members have literally infected Pima County for over 35 years. The county as a whole has suffered. Education has suffered. Their constituents, Fernando, are a little better off today than where they were when Raul Grijalva showed up on the scene like 35 years ago. Why would electing his daughter, who already has a history of her own, be expected to elevate Pima County and specifically the constituents in District 5 for being one of the poorest in the nation?
Yes, yes. Somebody told me that she's very well known, and that's good and bad. She's got name recognition, but unfortunately, she's got a lot of baggage.
Right.
You know, during her tenure there at the board, you know, they've closed 20 schools. Many of the schools have lost their magnet status. 15,000 students have left the district. We have failing schools. All the districts get the same amount of money with different results. So why is that? It's leadership. It's the people that are running the district, and it's unfortunate. But you know, she does have name recognition. For being a bad board member with no particular. They don't really care about her students. If they did, things would be a whole lot different. The money is not even reaching the teachers' money right. that was designated for that. You know, so it's more of the same being on the board.
So part of the Grijalva Gaines strategy is cronyism. All of their buddies and family members are working at Pima County or TUSD, and you say on your website one of your goals is to get rid of the cronyism. Pima County recently purchased a bowling alley and paid $600,000 above the appraised price. Pima County also approved a financing plan to construct a new $15 million manufacturing facility for Worldview. This was basically coming out of Chuck Huckleberry's office. Who's profiting from these deals?
Well, it's their friends, the people that are connected. You know, Mark Kelly is running for Senate, and he's one of the owners, part owner of that Worldview. So he's getting a benefit. And I think, you know, he's a carpetbagger because I think that they don't even live full-time here in Tucson. I think they live in Texas someplace.
And they don't...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they don't have to live here full-time.
Right. And so, you know, unfortunately, this is something that has been going on. They've purchased a lot of land under the guise of conservation, you know, but they've bought ranches. They bought Buckaloo Farms a few years back, you know, things like that. They're taking land and property off the tax rolls. Pima County has plenty of buildings. They don't need to be purchasing any more buildings. They just purchased a storage facility for over $3 million. I mean, that's ridiculous that they can't find a place to put things. So,
well, they have to purchase the storage facility for the things that they purchased.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what, you know, definitely it's something that it's really important to go ahead and, you know, and look at it from a business perspective. You know, many of the principles in business, you know, is a balanced budget, prioritizing, things of that nature, you know, which they really have no clue on how to do. They have no money management skills. They have a lot of wants, but don't address the needs. And so that's unfortunate because they're addressing a lot of the wants and not what's important here in Pima County.
So, Fernando, plenty of Democrats are getting sick and tired of the Grijalvas, aren't they? You've got lots of Democrats who are lifelong Democrats who are supporting you in this election, don't you?
Yes, I do. You know, there is a big contingency of Democrats who, you know, they don't really like, I mean, they, thank God they've opened their eyes. They don't really like what's going on, what has been going on for the past how many years, you know, and they're ready for a change. And so we're banking on that. We're banking that people are just tired of the same old status quo and that they're going to go ahead and give us a chance to try to make a difference. And we don't want to represent just a political party. We want to represent everybody in Pima County, and we want to take politics because a lot of the decisions that are made at the board of supervisors level are politically motivated, and that should not be. It's to represent and to see what's best for all the people as a whole.
Fernando, how do people help you? How do they get involved with your campaign? You have a website. How can they give to you?
Yes, the website is votefernandogonzalez.org.
That's Gonzalez vote, with an S.
Gonzalez with an S at the end, yes, sir. And they could reach me there. I'm posting a lot of stuff on Fernando for Supervisor. It's a Facebook page. Go there. You know, a lot of people, you know, with this pandemic don't have the funds, and that's okay. I understand that. Or can't volunteer, but you know what? If you share my Facebook page and send it to your friends and tell them to like it, and we're posting videos there, and we're posting all kinds of things, and that would help spread the word.
That's great. Hey, you know, Fernando, a point of personal privilege just for a second. Your daughter and my son have worked together for a number of years, and I know how wonderfully my son loves working with your daughter, and I've heard great stories about you over the years through your daughter, through my son. And, you know, if you mark the measure of a man by his children and their successes and the strength of the family, you truly are a great man. And you certainly are for me and for all the people who know you. So thanks very much for what you're doing. Vote Fernando Gonzalez. That's Gonzalez with an S, and that's .org. Help this man out. Let's change the culture at the Board of Supervisors. End the reign of the Grijalva gang. Fernando, we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Yep. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it. And thank you for your kind words.
You bet.
Best
All
of
right.
luck.
All right.
All right.
Take care, man.
So we're moving on. It's the election palooza version of Inside Track today. And our next guest, she's going to finish out the show with us today, is Deb McEwen. This is a lady I met a few years back. I know you've heard her commercials here on KVY. I know you've heard her on some of the other shows. She's buried in back of a computer screen. I can feel her presence, though. She's a very strong presence. And thanks very much for coming on the show. Deb, you're from the Rio Rico area. You're running against a couple of hard lefties. One of the lefties is a very round young man.
Rotund.
His campaign website where you know, he's bragging that he's a champion of paid leave and has zero issues he's willing to share. This guy stands for nothing. The other lefty, who sounds like she's running for the New Jersey House, not like she's from Arizona, she touts her bona fides as against charter schools and was wanting to defund school vouchers. So, like Sleepy Joe, who won't say what he believes except for gay rights and paid leave, two real burning issues in Arizona, and the other who does say what she's against, and that's a parent's right to choose. She is for abortion. She's for economic equity, not opportunity. She's for the New Green Deal and more governmental control over your health care and your body. You're running on the freedom agenda, aren't you, Deb?
That's right, yes.
And you have a completely different view of when you take that oath of office to defend and protect the Constitution, what that means. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Sure. Yes, I'm all for the Constitution and following the rule of law. And I am a big supporter of our law enforcement out there. The safety and the power that the sheriff's department can have in a county goes above and beyond anything that any other elected official could probably tout. And I am a big supporter of them. I've been to a couple of the Back the Blue rallies.
Right.
And I'm getting out there and sharing my knowledge and experience of law enforcement with them. I don't know if you know it or not, but I was raised in a prison. My father was a warden. So corrections and law enforcement is in my blood.
That's a great story.
It is. It is. And so I have a lot of affection for law enforcement and the courts and the rule of law. So sure, I'm all for that as opposed to rioting in the streets and burning down buildings.
Jobs, not mobs.
That's right. Yep.
Deb?
Yeah, Deb. Typically, people are always asked when they appear on this show, what is the stated purpose of government according to the Arizona Constitution?
Oh, see, that's an old, easy one. Yes, it is to protect citizens' rights and to protect the law, protect the laws and rules. If you're not doing that, I don't know why you're there.
Yeah, and you know, look, the thing that you see with the other side is, I mean, this woman, D'Alessandro, she wants to get rid of school vouchers. She wants to take control and force parents to throw them into the schools, the government schools. Santa Cruz County, one of the poorest counties in the entire country, where education has been failing, as it has also been in Tucson. You support education, but you don't support the kind of educational dogma. You know, she believes in right to choose as on abortion, okay? But she won't give parents the ability to choose for their children, will she?
No, and her teammates are the same way. Mr. Hernandez was able to acquire $4.5 million of funding from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services about 5 years ago to put this comprehensive sex education into our schools, which is backed by Planned Parenthood. Now, you're looking at specifically a school that this went to was Sunnyside, and that school ranks one of the lowest. It's below 50% in scholastic scores, and their math and English reading scores are down in the 24%. So where is that money actually better used? I would rather see it being put towards science programs, math, English, reading, things like that. We don't need $4.5 million put towards comprehensive sex education.
Okay, we got about 30 seconds remaining before the end of the show. The two major things that you want to accomplish when you become a member of the Arizona State Legislature.
Well, the first thing is to help clean up some of the bad executive, I shouldn't say executive orders, the laws that would allow or disallow some of the overreach during times of crisis. And I know legislature's working hard on that, and I would love to be part of the team that helps them do it the right way. And the second thing would be education, and get that situated with technology and getting our kids back in school, learning what they need to learn.
All right. Well, Deb, I'm afraid we're up against the clock. Not much more time left. That's going to be it for today. Thanks for listening to Inside Track. I hope you enjoyed the show. We will get Mike Gonzalez back on the show hopefully next week or the week after. Thanks to Pima Supervisor Fernando Gonzalez with a Z talking to us about his election. Voices of the West host Harry Alexander talking about Old Tucson, and LD2 House nominee Deb McEwen. Until next week, this is Bruce Ash and
Deb Wilkinson wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrap yard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A Engineering Department and Music Department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard. 701 East 36th Street, open Monday through Saturday.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.